That is Alamo, the place to be on Sunday mornings. For those who have found us on their radio at FM 96.9 in San Antonio, we are located at 4071 North Foster Road. For anyone who is looking for a new church home or just one to visit, come and see us. Everyone is welcome. The scripture selected for this morning's invocation is taken from Psalm 118, as printed in the New King James Version of our Bible. Listen for God's word in this reading. Praise to God for his everlasting mercy. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me, and I have become, and you have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. Save now, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, gracious and merciful Heavenly Father. We thank you for this blessed morning that you've given us, the morning that we call Palm Sunday, Lord. This is a very special day for us. But Lord, more than that, we thank you for our blessed Savior who died, was crucified, and he rose again. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, as we begin our Holy Week, we ask, Lord, that this would be a very special time for us, that, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to remember it's not just about a certain day. It's about how we live and how that we treat Jesus in our lives. We thank you. Go with us today. Help us to focus on you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. There is a word that I just could not wait to say this morning. I was looking at it last night and the other day. Got a palm branch. Pull it up. We'll have one. Let's go over here. We'll have one. Okay. Man, this is a very special day. This is the day that our Lord can go in. Oh, it's going to be a palm branch. Put it down on the ground. What they find
They waved palm branches as he passed and hailed him as their king. Yet they knew not of the sorrow the coming week would bring. The glad acclaim would soon give way to jeers and mockery. In Pilate's court, he'd be condemned to a cross on Calvary. But Jesus knew he was the price in God's redemptive plan, the sacrificial lamb come down to die for sins of man. The centuries have passed, and still he seeks those lost in sin, pleading with unyielding hearts to repent and follow him. On this day we shout our praise. Oh, let us not delay. The palm-strewn path of long ago still leads to
sunrise service and breakfast. And we had a question about the people that are bringing the food and getting prepared. They have to be here at 6?
6 o'clock. Okay. If we need you here at 6 if you're going to help.
Rejoice, ye pure in heart. Rejoice, give thanks and sing. Your glorious banner wave on high, the cross of Christ your King. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Your clear hosannas raise, and alleluia's loud, whilst answering echoes upward float, like breeze of incense cloud. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Yes, on through life's long path, still chanting as we go. From youth to age, by night and day, in gladness and in woe. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing.
Congregation, please be seated.
And now is the time that we return to God a portion of that which He has blessed us with. So we ask that you pray with us. Heavenly Father, we come at this time. We come with grateful hearts. We come knowing that you are there and that you are the source. We ask, Lord, that you take our tithes and offerings. Use them to further your kingdom here on earth. These things we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. As we go through this, something that I decided about 30 seconds ago, for Eileen's memorial, I had wanted a hymn. It was one of her favorites, and I knew that I could not get through it at the memorial service, so I'm going to try today. I may falter, but bear with me. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art.
Amen.
Amen.
Doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Maybe.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Today's reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 through 44. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their coats on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day
what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you, hem you in on every side. They will dash you in the ground, to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
You may be seated.
Okay, choir.
Please join me in prayer. Father God, we come at this time. We come listening. We come seeking. We come in joy as we remember this triumphant season. We come knowing that you are there. We ask, Lord, that as we sit here thirsting for your word, you open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that each of us may joyfully hear the word that you have for us today. We ask, Lord, that you strengthen Pastor Ted, that you give him your spirit, allow him the strength to put aside himself and put on your word. And help us, Lord, as we leave this place, to be so filled with your spirit that we spread your word to the world. These things we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Beginning of Holy Week, right? So what is this? Do you know what this is? Is this a piece of grass? No. It's a palm, right? So today is Palm Sunday, as Carolyn said. And so during Palm Sunday, Jesus came to town. Have you been to a parade before? What did they do at the parade? Did people drive down the street and walk down the street and you watch them? Yeah, so Palm Sunday was kind of like that. But it's when Jesus rode in on a donkey, right? And everybody was excited and they said, Hosanna, and they were shaking this, right? So can you say that? Hosanna, and shake it, right? Everybody was like, this is like, you know, if you were going to say, yay, or you're going to do something with your hands, it's kind of like this. They were making a big deal. They were like telling him, like they were very excited that he was coming, right? All right. So that, this is the beginning of Holy Week. And so we're entering Holy Week, which is a special time in our church calendar. That comes right before Easter. We have a lot of holy days on the calendar, but it gives us a whole week of special things to remember. During Holy Week, we celebrate the final days of Jesus. So for now, we are getting our hearts ready to remember the life and the days that of Jesus. We think about all that he did, and we're grateful to dwell on his love and sacrifice. We should also be mindful of his attitude. He didn't come to celebrate or pampered. He came to serve others. He wants us to do the same. So we should pray and ask God for opportunities to live for him and for another. Let's thank him and his son. All right, before we do that, I have a special thing for y'all to take. I'm going to show you mine because I pre-made mine. So these are resurrection eggs, okay? And I have mine prepared. And there's cards here to tell you what each egg represents. But I'm going to give you this, and you are going to make one like this, okay? So I want you to do this with your family because this is going to help you understand about what this week is. Each egg represents a day or an event that happened during Holy Week, okay? So it takes a long time for us to talk about it all. And it's a little intense. You might have a lot of questions, okay? So I'm going to do, instead of me talking about it with you, I want you to go with your family and make this together. Can everybody do that? And then next week, we'll talk about it. Because there's going to be one special egg in here, and I'm going to ask you next week what was in that egg. And I want you to see if what was in that egg was special, okay? So we'll talk about it next week, all right? So before you leave, let's get one of these, but let's say a prayer. Dear God, thank you for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Help us remember to serve one another just as he served us. Thank you for your love. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lose your place.
Morning. Sometimes when I get ready to preach, it kind of reminds me of when I used to be when I was in school, and the teacher would never have my homework ready. Never. And I would be sitting back in the class and I'd be saying, oh my goodness, please don't call on me. But guess what? Ted, could you come up here on the board, please, and show us what you got in your homework? But I don't have to worry about that now because I'm ready. Amen. And I say that because sometimes I'm nervous and I get a little nervous. But a preacher once told me, he says, Ted, when the day that you stop being nervous, that's the day you probably ought to quit preaching, because it's always a nervousness or an energy inside of someone that's getting ready to proclaim God's word. Amen? And that is why we are here this morning, to proclaim God's word, to proclaim that the King is truly coming. He's coming, folks. He's coming. He's coming back again. Our title this morning is The Surprising Kingdom. The Surprising Kingdom. You see, the kingdom of God is full of surprises. And we have to be willing to receive it as such. And as we look at our Palm Sunday gospel narrative, you can see that Jesus is going to show up in a very unexpected way in the final week of his earthly life. And we've got to be willing to receive his kingdom in surprising ways and open to the various ways that he may be at work in our lives. So I ask you this morning, so what's so important about today? What's the big deal? We got these little palm things, we're waving them around, but what's going on? Why are we doing this? This is the beginning of Holy Week, or some people may call it Passion Week. And this is the moment that our Lord rode into Jerusalem on a donkey to proclaim his kingship. We call that Palm Sunday because as he was riding into Jerusalem, people were waving and cheering with palms. Palm branches of that day, they were tokens of joy and triumph. And they were used on quite a few of the Jewish festival occasions. Kings and conquerors were welcomed with palm branches, and they were thrown out before them as they rode or walked along. So we're going to look at Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of Jesus, to talk about the kingdom of God, and more specifically, the surprising nature of the kingdom of God. So now, I like surprises. I really do. I like surprises. You know, there are some that don't, and I love stories and movies with a great plot twist that it's not what you think it is. So we're going to look at one of the greatest plot twists today that has ever happened. You see, we're going to see how the kingdom of God is full of surprises. So when's the last time that you were really, really surprised by God? When's the last time that you had to stop and step back and say, wow, I didn't see that coming from the Lord. I didn't see that. You see, the Lord is full of surprises, isn't he? He does things that we don't expect. And sometimes we can't figure out. But I tell you this, folks, don't try to figure it out. If it comes from the Lord, just grab a hold of it. Amen? You grab a hold of it and believe in it and hold it true to you. So if we look at Luke 19:28, it says, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. So now the Lord is getting ready to go to Jerusalem. And you'll notice that the scripture says he went up. And that's very important to notice this, because Jerusalem was a symbolic city of God at that time. And actually, the word Jerusalem actually means wholeness, or they'll feel the awe and the completeness of the Lord. And these are important things, because they're going to lead us to a bigger question. Why in the world was Jesus headed to Jerusalem in the first place? Why is he going there? He's got to know these people want to kill him. He's got to know that it's not safe there. The answer is simply this. He's going to celebrate the Passover. The Passover is the largest Jewish holiday festival. It is a celebration of remembrance of the Exodus story of when God freed the slaves from Egypt. There was a Passover dinner and the Last Supper, and this was the last meal that the Lord is going to have. I'm sorry, the Last Supper, the last Passover meal that he's going to have with his disciples. And this is traditionally recognized in our Christian calendar as Maundy Thursday of Holy Week. But you know what, folks? This is where the story gets kind of interesting. He not only arrived in Jerusalem as a rightful king, he came as a sacrificial lamb. John 1:35 says, the next day John was there again with two of his disciples, and when he saw Jesus passing by, he says, "Look, the Lamb of God." Now here's some facts, surprising facts about Jesus in Jerusalem during Holy Week. First of all, he was the Passover lamb. He was to be chosen and set apart on the 10th day of the first month of the Jewish holiday called Nisan. And on the 10th day of Nisan, this is when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey. And then he was hailed as the King of the Jews. Now the lamb was to be expected for 4 days until the 14th day of the month, looking for any spot of blemish, anything that might be wrong, that might disqualify this lamb from being a sacrificial lamb. Jesus openly taught in the temple and synagogue until the 14th day of the month, and no fault could be found. Couldn't find anything wrong. And at the appointed time, the Passover lamb was slain by the whole congregation. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was delivered and publicly killed on a Roman execution cross or stake as the Passover lamb was being slaughtered. So let's look at our narrative and let's see what the Lord is doing here. First of all, in 19:29-30, he's coming to Bethpage in Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives. He's going to send two of his disciples, and he tells them, go in the village, and as you enter it, you know, you'll find a colt there, and the one that no one has ever ridden. Untie it, bring it here. Now, that statement, no one has ever ridden it, the king's donkey was exclusively for the king alone and no one else. In fact, in Zechariah 9, chapter 9, verse 9, there is a prophecy describing this very thing. And he says in 31:32, if anyone asks you why you're in time, to tell him the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found just as he had told them. And it says, as they were untying the colt, his owners asked him, why are you untying this colt? They said, the Lord needs it. You see, a colt is a donkey. It's a young donkey. Jesus is going to be riding a donkey, folks. And this is a humble side of peace. But get this. He's going to come later, as Revelation states it, riding on a white horse in Revelation 19. In verse 9 and 35, they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and they put Jesus on it. And as he went along, the people spread their cloaks on the road. And this was showing honor that was paid only to a king. But here's a very, very interesting part here. When he came in verse 37 and 38, when he came to a place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd began to cheer and to praise God in a very loud voice for all the miracles they seen. You see, they had seen Jesus perform these miracles. In fact, just up the road was Bethany, where they had saw Jesus raise his friend Lazarus from the dead. They saw and they believed and they knew that this was the true King of the Jews that was coming to Jerusalem. So these traveling disciples and pilgrims, they rightly identified Jesus for the miracle work, that the miracle working Messiah that he is. And this group, they could see Jesus as who he was. And verse 38 says, "Blessed is the King who came in the name of the, who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory on the highest." Now take note at that scripture, it says peace in heaven. It didn't say peace in earth, and there's a reason why. When the Lord was crucified, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. There was great joy in heaven, and the Lord ascended into heaven. There was great, great joy in heaven. But on the earth, there was not peace, because they had rejected their king, and they had crucified their king, and they had killed him. He says, peace in heaven and glory on the highest. And if you look at Psalm 118, there is, it says, Hosanna, Hosanna. Everything is going good, but as always, the enemy will always throw something in there. In verse 39, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said, "Teacher, tell your disciples to shut up. Rebuke your disciples." The people of God are praising God with their lips. They didn't want that, because they knew if they started praising God, it would turn them away from them. And the leaders there, they wanted to shut it all down. You see, they were hard on the gospel. They were hard on Jesus and his followers. But verse 40, Jesus tells them this, and I love this. He said, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. And you can also take this a very powerful way to say this. You can't stop this. Listen to me, folks. Whatever the Lord has going, whatever he has going in your life, in my life, in Alamo's life, if the Lord is in it, no one can stop it. No one. It's going to go on. It's going to happen because the Lord wills it. He tells him, he says, the rocks themselves would cry out. You see, that's another, that's more evidence that this is truly the rightful king that has come to Jerusalem. There was a lot of signs and prophecy, and they're all pointing to Jesus entering Jerusalem as the king. But here's the sad part of this narrative. In verse 41 and 42, he says, as he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city, and he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. As he looked out over the city, he cried. Our Lord showed, the Son of Man showed his human side, and he cried for those who had rejected them. Sometimes, last night I wondered as I looked at this, I wonder if the Lord, if he looks out over the city of San Antonio sometimes, if he looks out over the state of Texas, if he looks out over the United States, if he looks out over the entire world, does he weep? Does he weep and say, oh my, if only they would believe. If only they would accept. If only. But he's weeping over his people. And he tells them, it's now hidden from your eyes. You see, now it's hidden from their eyes. The Pharisees, they couldn't perceive who Jesus was. They hadn't experienced it. But his disciples, who were with Jesus, they recognized who he was, and they knew him. I wonder this morning, do you recognize who the Lord is on this Palm Sunday? And do you know him? And Jesus gives a very striking and a very bad promise or prophecy to them in verses 43 through 44. He says, the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you on and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, and you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone or another. And why? Because you did not recognize the time of God coming to you. This prophecy has already come to pass. In A.D. 70, Jerusalem was sacked and the temple was completely destroyed. You see, the painful truth is this morning, folks, the Pharisees, they couldn't see, they couldn't perceive that the Messiah was right there in front of them. They could not see, even though earlier, maybe perhaps they in the week, they had saw him even raise Lazarus from the dead. And they, all their study and their understanding of the scripture, they knew this. Jesus came riding into the city on a donkey, just like in Zechariah 9:9 said he would. He healed the sick. He restored the sight of the blind. He made the deaf speak, the lame walk, just as they knew the Messiah would. And as I said earlier, just a couple of miles down the road, he had raised him from the dead. Yet, they still could not see him. Wow. He wasn't, and you know why? He wasn't who they expected him to be. You see, they thought he was going to come into Jerusalem as their king with a sword, with a big army. But here comes their king riding on a donkey, a foal, a colt, humble. You see, he did all these things to folks, but they didn't know who he was. But you know what, folks? Sometimes I realize that I'm not so different from them. I wonder how many times Jesus has been working through some situation in my life or even your life, offering solutions and provisions in our life, and I just couldn't or wouldn't see that it was Jesus. I just couldn't see it. I couldn't see him right in front of me. Perhaps you too can relate to this always. Maybe you've even felt a particular tension in your faith. So if we look back on Palm Sundays, we're able to understand what was going on. We can recognize and perceive Jesus through the very events of this Holy Week, Good Friday and even Easter morning. And in hindsight, we can clearly see that God was working all along. He's always been faithful and true. Now, I know there are people, someone today, someone who may be going through some things. You may be suffering, pain, maybe confusing circumstances, maybe grief, loss, fear, or even doubt. There may be some who have been blinded by their own success. That God has been so good to them, they think that it's all about me. But I want you to be careful this morning. Be careful not to be too sure of yourself. Be careful that you don't give the Lord the credit that's due him. Don't get bitter. Don't harden your hearts toward God. Keep your hands open and willing to receive the surprising kingdom of God. Be willing to have God show up in ways that you didn't expect. You know, that's the beautiful thing about the kingdom of God, I believe, is the surprises that it brings. You know, you don't know what's coming, but you know if Jesus is behind it, you ain't got nothing to worry about. Amen? You ain't got nothing to worry about. I'm with you, Lord. I'm with you. You see, you're looking like someone or something you just couldn't perceive or imagine. So, and remember this, he might not show up like you expected him to do or ask him to, but he's there and he's always working for your good. Remember that. He may not show up when you want him, but he has his own time, and his time is the best time. So, with that in mind this morning, dear one, I want you to remember this. In Lamentations 3, 23 through 24, and I want to come down and read this for you. I want to get close to you, so, and you can, if you want, you can turn to this or write this verse down and save it for a future time, or you can listen to my sound bite. I played it last night on the sound bite. This comes from Lamentations chapter 3. Verses 23 through 24. I'm sorry, verse 22 through 24. Listen for God's word. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassion never fails. They are new every morning.
great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Folks, where would we be without the faithfulness of Jesus? Where would you be? Where in the world? What could we say? What hope would we have if not for his faithfulness? In spite of all that we've done or not done, it says, they are new every morning. His compassions, they never fail. Others, you say, well, I can tell you this, folks. God's love for you is always there. No matter what situation you're in or what you're going through. And then he says, great is our faithfulness. And verse 24 says, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. These are just wonderful words of encouragement that the Lord has given us. And it tells us that no matter what we're going through, the Lord is faithful to us. On this Palm Sunday, let this be a start. Let this be a start in your life that you're going to live right before the Lord. That we're going to make an extra effort to put Jesus first. To put him first. And starting right now with Palm Sunday, we're going to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We're going to do what you want us to do. And you know what, folks? It'll get difficult. Folks ain't going to like you, but that's all right. They may not like you now. Amen? Folks talking about you now, and you probably don't even know it. So my theory on that is give them something to talk about. Amen? Give them something to talk about. And remember this. Remember this, dear one. He came riding in on a donkey in Jerusalem. But one day, as in Revelation, one day he's coming on a white horse. And he's coming to receive those who believe on him. And he's coming with his reward. And I don't know about you, but I want the Lord to say to me that when I stand before him, he says, Ted, well done, thy good and faithful servant. He says, you've been faithful over what? A few things. Come on in. Enter into your rest. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bind this congregation in a bind of love that can never be broken. Bind us together, Lord, so that we may be able to do your work, that we may be able to march out and be the salt and light of this community, that we may be a bridge, and that we may be, this church would be a lighthouse to those that are in darkness, that our lives would be a light that they could see. Help us, Jesus. We ask this. In Jesus' name, amen. The invitation goes out to anyone who wishes to come to the altar for prayer. There may be something on your heart, on your mind, something that may be bothering you. I invite you to come to the altar and give it to the Lord. I wouldn't carry that mess around with me because it'll give you a headache. I know, I tried it, and it doesn't work. Give it to the Lord. Someone that may want to join church, someone that just may want to say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Maybe you just want to pray. Maybe you have a prayer for a loved one. The altar is open for all who wish to come.
You stand for the hymn of invitation. He touched me.
Shackled by a heavy burden. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior,
the altar is open for all who wish to come. The altar is open.
I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. It touched me, oh, it touched me. And oh, the joy that blessed my soul. Something happened, and now I touched me and made me whole.
Bless him. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Love you.
Could you play that one just one more time?
Of course. Randy.
Heavenly Father,
thank you, God, you're from the Son.
Lord, you know what's on his heart. You know what he has to do.
Lord,
you know that if you surround him, he'll have no problem. Surround him, Lord. With your love, give assurance, help him to understand that it's going to be all right. Thank you for it. Thank you for his service.
Oh,
thank you for his love.
That blessed my soul.
In Jesus' name.
Something
God bless you,
happened.
Love
you. Right. And now I know he touched me. And
thank you, Randy. You may be seated. As I always like to say, God's not through with you yet, dear ones. He's still working on you. I know he is. I can look at your faces and tell he's working on you. But don't you run from him too long, all right? Don't run too long. Besides, you can't run from me anyway. He can run faster than you. Amen? God bless you this morning. God bless you.
And what another joy, Karen and Doug. We missed him last week, but they're here, so thanks be to God for them. And Miss Bonnie.
Bad weather in that town. He said it. Yes. Now, would you please join me in the prayer our Lord taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, and forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And as we leave here today, remember those less fortunate than ourselves and continue praying for those who are homebound or ailing in any way. Be friendly and be safe, and let us join together here again next Sunday to receive the message that our pastor will bring us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You stand for our closing hymn. Tell me the stories of Jesus. Ready, and.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Sings by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me. First let me hear how the children stood round his knee, and I shall fancy his blessing resting on me. Words full of kindness, deeds full of grace, all in the love light of Jesus' face. Into the city I'd follow the children's band, waving a branch of the palm tree high in my hand. One of his heralds, yes, I would sing, loudest hosannas, Jesus is King.
Go in peace.